Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and I am producer and host, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. Now, the guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, novelists. My God, we even throw in an entertainment attorney once in a while, because if your career is going well, then you're going to eventually need one. And we have two fantastic Beverly Hills entertainment attorneys coming on in December. So you want to catch those shows. You want to go to the official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. That has the schedule for we're always booked 6 months to a year in advance, so it has the schedule of all the guests that are coming up, so you'll see the dates on there for the entertainment attorneys, and you can feel free to call in or email with any questions that you may have. Now, what's special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they are at different stages of their careers, from celebrity status to professional. And then once in a while, we throw in a novice or a beginner. So that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show who will be able to answer your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you have to go to our archive page, which is on latalkradio.com on the website, and you search for our show title, which is Question Reality, or search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can listen or download any of the interviews 24 hours a day. Now, all of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure you get our newly designed free app on the homepage of the LATalkRadio.com website. It's located towards the bottom on the right-hand side. And finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show to promote yourself, your products, or just help listeners with your sage career advice, we are currently booking for the new year, January, February, and March. So please go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link to submit for interview consideration. Again, it's not latalkradio.com, it's questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link. Now, real quick, before we get to our guest today, I just wanted to thank Mr. Joe Estevez, brother of Martin Sheen, for being on the show. Oh, he's also the uncle of Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. And he came on the show a couple weeks ago. He's promoting his new film, which is called Senior Moment. It's coming out in the new year, and he plays opposite William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd, and it's a romantic comedy, and it's going to be fantastic. It's great. We can't see enough of William Shatner. My goodness, we cannot. We're actually, Albert and I are rewatching reruns of T.J. Hooker. We've moved on. We've had about 50,000 screenings of Star Trek, so now we're like, more Shatner. Oh, T.J. Hooker, yay. Also, we want to thank Ernest Thomas, who was on the show a couple weeks ago. He is on his book tour. Ernest Thomas, as you know, is one of the stars from Everyone Hates Chris and What's Happening. And he has written another book called From Raj to Riches, Overcoming Life Through Faith. And it is a motivational autobiography about how to overcome show business and life through faith. As you know, he was a very huge celebrity. And it takes its toll on you. And this book is for anyone that is going through their rise to the top or their descent to the bottom. It's a fantastic book. It's called, again, From Raj to Riches, thebook.com. And you can buy it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. And lastly, I want to thank you again, the Casting Community Action Committee members. My God, Gary Zuckerbrod, veteran casting director, Alan Hooper, casting director. He cast for Modern Family, one of my favorite shows, Asia Rae Coleman, beautiful actress, and David H. Lawrence, the 17th. They were on the show. Oh, Jason Kennedy, casting director for NCIS. They were on the show a couple weeks ago, and they were really trying to help people understand what's going on in the entertainment industry right now with casting directors being arrested and workshops closing down. And just, it's just a horrible situation for everyone. Actors really need casting director workshops. They really do. So they have a committee. Please Google it and find out how you can help keep the casting director workshops open. All right. Lastly, in the most exciting part, we get to announce the guest for today. He is professional boxer, author, and foundation ambassador, Mr. Alan Santana. What? Yes. My God. Oh, and I didn't even mention how handsome he was, but his wife's here, so I have to be on my best behavior. You know how I am when there's a good-looking man around. Usually my hand's under the table, but the wife is going to box my ears if I even try that. She'll become the boxer. His website is noteenriders.org, noteenriders.org. Let me just tell you a little bit about Alan. He had a love of boxing, and it was very apparent at the age of 8 years old when he put on his first pair of boxing gloves. Can you imagine that little cutie with his little big boxing gloves on? And as an adult, he was an amateur boxer for over 140 amateur fights that spanned over 20 years. Alan was also a member of the California USA boxing team from 1980 to 1984, and he was a professional boxer. His record consisted of 8 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw. And he was managed by the late Earl Beebe and trained by Ray Chavez out of the 108th Street Gym in Los Angeles. Unfortunately, Alan's illustrious career came to an end. It was short-lived due to an automobile accident in 1988, and he stepped away for a few years, and he pursued a career in business, and it's really, really paid off for him, because currently Alan has created the No Teen Riders Foundation. He's written a book entitled Unprotected. He is an ambassador for Ready Go, which is a reading program. He's an ambassador for the ABO Foundation for Disabled Boxers, and he is about to embark on a film career. I can't wait to hear about that. So without further ado, let's welcome him, Albert. Albert, as you know, is here running the board. He's the one that gives you the wonderful applause meter. Thank you, Mr. Albert. Yes. Oh, you applause yourself. I love it. Applause for me. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Alan.
Priscilla, welcome. Thank you.
You are welcome. My goodness, I think this thing is taller than both of us, isn't it? A speaker. You were, let's go way back. You were a professional boxer. What was it about the sport that inspired you to do this professionally? First of all, at 8 years old, I can't imagine what would make me like want to go box somebody at eight. But what was going on at eight that you're like, wow, that looks exciting?
Well, at 8 years old, I was bullied as a kid in elementary school. And, you know, you get to a point, even as a kid, where you get tired of it. So I went home and talked to my father one day, and he went out and bought me some boxing gloves and kind of taught me how to fight and defend myself.
So when he taught you how to defend yourself, what, had he been a boxer or... You know, it's like not many fathers say, like Albert, the same thing happened with Albert. He was bullied and he went home and told his father, and his father's like, ah, just ignore him. And I am more along the lines of your father, because I would have said, you know, I don't know about boxing gloves, but I would have said, you know, pick up something, knock them in the head. That's what my grandma, I'm Irish. So, you know, we came from a family where you try to bully us, we would rip out your hair. That's it. Pick up anything. That's it. You're not going to bully my kid. So at 8 years old, what did you do with the boxing gloves once you got them?
Well, like I said, my father, he trained me for a while, taught me how to defend myself. And from that point on, I didn't get picked on any longer.
Yeah?
No.
So had he been a boxer, or he just, you know, kind of knew how to fight and then put the gloves on?
Actually, he was a professional fighter, but he didn't tell me that for many years. He fought in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, was he one of those fighters? What are those fighters called in Mexico? Oh, my gosh, I love it. It was the movie with Jack Black where they wore the mask.
Oh, you're talking about the wrestlers.
Oh, what were they called? It was something weird. It was a weird name. You remember that movie, Jack Black?
Yes.
El Nacho?
El Macho?
Oh, something, yeah, like something that. Like that.
Right.
Yeah. So are you familiar with that fighting?
That's wrestling.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you see how much knowledge I have. My God, I don't know boxing for wrestling. Okay, so when you put the gloves on and you're defending yourself, did it give you a sense of power and it made you feel like, you know what, this really resonates with me. I like the feeling of being able to take care of myself.
Well, you know what, I was a little kid and I didn't do it so that I could have power. I just, like I said, wanted to protect myself. But one of the things that was funny is when I did get in a fight to defend myself for the first time, I went after the biggest kid in the school.
That's the way. You take the big ones down, they fall like dominoes. Right, Albert? Yeah, absolutely. So when you decided to become a boxer and you were boxing, were you ever seriously hurt or?
No, you know, my nose was broke in one of my professional fights, and in my amateur career, I didn't actually have any injuries. I was pretty fortunate with all the fights I did have. But as a professional, I had my eardrum broke once, my left eardrum. And then my nose was broken in one of my fights, but no big deal.
Oh, I was wondering what would attract somebody to become a boxer, because I don't like getting hit. I've never been hit, but I can't imagine. When I was little, we would play fight, and I didn't like that. I can't imagine you wanting to get hit, like, all the time. What is it that attracts people to that sport? Do not understand it.
Well, you know, I think it has to do with your DNA. It's like a drug. Not that I take drugs or anything, but it's like a drug. You get just a natural high from the competition, because it is competitive. So there's no feeling like it in the world.
Right.
But it's a great feeling. And I didn't like to get hit myself. I really didn't. So I tell people boxing is like a chess match. It truly is like a chess match. So you're in there to knock your opponent out, but you're also in there to outthink him. While you're fighting.
How do you know when you're out thinking him? When you're not on the floor and he is? Is that...
Have you seen my face?
Oh, no, that's true. You got a good face.
I'm just
that's
kidding.
That's it. Now, I had a question when I announced via social media you were coming on the show.
Sure.
Susan from Lowell, Maine said, what do boxers think of the Rocky movies? Which was a weird question, but you know, I thought, That's a good question, right? Look, David Holmes is here in the house. Give David an applause. David, yay. Are you leaving, David? He's leaving. Okay. Text me, David. David Holmes, a very good friend of Ernest Thomas. He is here possibly to hopefully start a radio show here. But that's a good question. What do boxers think of Rocky movies? Do they go like, oh, my God, that's so unreal? And do they see everything that's wrong or... Being yeah, around boxers, give me the scoop.
Yeah, as a fighter, you do critique that. You know, you watch, you go, wow, that's it's so fake. But it did, what I will give Sylvester Stallone credit for is that he did bring a lot more people, kids got involved because of his movies.
Right.
So he gets a lot of credit. He gets a lot of credit for that. And he was actually inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame back in Conestoga, New York.
I didn't know that.
That was a few years ago. So he's one of the few actors that's actually in the Hall of Fame for boxing.
I don't know any other one. No. I hadn't heard. But you know what? Also, The Eye of the Tiger. Right. My God, that was immortalized. Now, that song that was used in that movie, that is a song that is used for people to work out and to motivate them to do things in their life. It has really become a song associated with the fight, fighting. Never giving up.
It's a perfect song.
You know, it's a great song. I love it. And now I want to ask you, how accurate, from a boxer's point of view, this is another question. This is from Lily from San Diego. She said, how accurate was the Will Smith movie Concussion, which was about the dangers of being a boxer?
I think probably pretty accurate. That's one of the things I do talk about a lot is because I'm so pro-fighter and I'm anti-promoter. But there is a lot of, when you're getting hit, you do take a lot of punishment, and there's a lot of concussions that happen. I've actually been at fights where I've seen fighters with concussions, and what happens, they will throw up during the fight.
Oh.
And they have a very bad problem when that happens. So the movie was pretty accurate. It was very accurate, yes.
Yeah. Well, my very good friend, Ernest Thomas, who I was just speaking of earlier, he was best friends, or one in the inner circle, for sure, of Muhammad Ali. And, poor Muhammad Ali suffered many illnesses as a result of boxing. Is that common, and we just don't hear about it unless they're...
Well,
very famous.
It is common, and I want to make a correction real quick. The movie Concussion was actually about the NFL.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
One was the one about?
Will Smith actually.
Oh, well, see, I didn't say that. Oh, thank God I didn't get that wrong. I assume she was saying the right movie. Thank
that's okay,
you.
That's okay, but Will
Bad
Smith,
Lily, bad Lily.
Will Smith did portray Muhammad Ali in a movie.
Yes.
And that was very
yes.
accurate. It was very, very accurate. He actually even looked like Muhammad Ali. With a bit of makeup and work, and then he
right.
worked out quite a bit to portray a fighter. So he did a good job on that fight.
Is that would that happen more because he was a professional boxer? So it's heavier. They're heavier and they hit harder and things like that. Mm. Or is it that you just can't get away from the opponent? What is it?
I don't think it has to do with any being heavier. It's just it's all relative depending on your weight class.
Yeah.
Even as in the smaller weight classes, you're still getting hit just as hard. So one of the things that we're talking about concussions. I just feel that. I'm involved with an organization called the ABO, which is the Adaptive Boxing Organization. Like I said, I'm the spokesperson and
yeah.
the ambassador for that program.
Yeah, I got that. Four questions down. We're getting
okay.
to it. Hold on there.
Sure.
We got it all building up. We're building up to a wonderful finish for the show. I wanted to ask you, if someone said to you, Alan, what are the pros and cons of being a boxer, what would you say?
The pros are you're in great shape. If you're lucky enough, you get to travel. You get to meet wonderful people in the business. The cons is if you have bad management, you will wind up broke.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of physical problems at the end of your career. A lot of times you'll see fighters that they have mental problems, dementia from taking so many punches to the head.
Right.
Your hands will bother you. I have friends a lot of my friends are ex-fighters. And there's problems. I wake up.
Why would you want to ever be a boxer then if that stuff happens to you?
When you're young, you don't think about it. Mm. So, you know, you're invincible when you're young. And it's a sport. It's a competitive sport. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that drew me to the sport was, you know, being a little kid and not very big. Boxing's a one-on-one sport. It's one of the few sports where it's not a team sport. Right. So it's one-on-one.
That's right. That's a good point. And now, your career was, you were on your way to becoming like, mega huge. You had the accident. How did you bounce back after the accident? Because a lot of times when boxers have accidents, they can't really mentally come back, is what I understand.
No, I was actually working with my father's paving company at the time, and I had just, I think about the time I had started my own company, but I was involved in an accident and messed up my back.
What happened?
I was actually driving one of our company trucks. Oh. A gentleman pulled out of a parking lot, and he didn't stop, and I actually plowed into him.
Wow.
He was fortunate. I was fortunate that it wasn't a lot worse than what it was. But that...
What was the damage?
I messed my back up.
Oh.
That was pretty much the end of my career at that point. And right. I had two big fights actually coming up. But, it's okay.
How did you adjust to the new normal after being a boxer and you had the...
The effects of that were tough. It was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
I went through probably depression for quite a few years. I didn't want to be around the fight game. I didn't want anything to do with it. And it took about 5 years, and I finally got over it.
Wow. Did you do therapy, physical or mental therapy?
No mental therapy, but I was in physical therapy for about 3 years.
Mm.
I would go to the therapist, and they would work on my back. And I even tried to make a comeback at about 33, 34 years old. I'd put my team back together, went into the boxing gym, and it just wasn't the same when you're 33, 34 years old, and you got a guy that's 18 years old, and every time you go to throw a punch, five or six of them come back at you. Yeah.
They're like Flash Gordon.
At that point, I knew it was time to walk away for good.
Right. Well, that's lucky you did. Now, let's talk about the No Teen Writers Foundation. It is a nonprofit organization, and it focuses on keeping teenage drivers safe. And Alan developed a No Teen Driver license plate, and it has already gotten major support from police and governors and schools and corporations. So my first question is, what is a No Teen Driver license plate? I have never heard of one before.
I actually brought one with me, so here it is. It's a bright yellow frame.
Wow!
That goes on the back of a teenage driver's car or their parents' car when they have a provisional driver's license.
Wow! I love that. That is a great idea, Albert. Please get a picture of this. I love that. You know, I know people are going to say that this is horrible. Teens, of course, are going to say this, but don't care. I don't feel that you should drive until you're 21. Now, is that wrong to think? Because, I mean, at that age, you're too damn young to be able to coordinate. Your mind is raging with hormones. You are worrying about, getting it in. You're worried about going to your next girlfriend's house or boyfriend's house or what you're going to wear, what you're going to do, or texting. There's so many things. I mean, we remember when we were teens, the last thing we can think about is turn lanes and signals and doing the right thing. And it's very, very difficult. And I think that children should not be behind the wheel of a car. It is a weapon. It is a very dangerous weapon, and in the hands of teens, in my opinion, it is like driving a tank. And unfortunately, not with the safety of being inside the tank for the people who they hit. But tell us about, I love this. It is, for those of you who can't see it, please go to the website now. It's noteenriders.org, but this is a big yellow bright, I hope this is fluorescent.
I actually brought a few of those for you.
Yeah. Oh, for me? Oh, yes. That's great, because I have some. That is fantastic. I've got some friends with kids, so this is wonderful. Do these glow at night?
No, they don't, but they're very visible.
Okay.
When we designed that, I actually designed it with a law enforcement officer who was a friend of mine at the time, or still is a friend of mine, I should say, but we designed that. I came up with the idea. I went to his house, sat down with him, and said, what do you think of this? And he thought it was a great idea, but you can see that for a few blocks.
Yeah.
It actually stands out.
I love that. And maybe they can eventually get the glow in the dark for at nighttime, because older people can't really see.
That is a good idea.
That it should be glowing. Because that was my idea, to do glow in the dark license plate. But I didn't have this nice provisional license. I had something a lot meaner on mine. Like, can't drive, look out. But this is great. So it's yellow and it says provisional license, noteenriders.org. And so I guess you want to make people realize it's not like you're trying to say, well, we don't want any teens behind a car. That's me that's saying that. But if you are, what you're saying is that they need to have some rules, regulations, safety classes. Tell us what the program is about.
Well, you hit it right on the head. You know, you're literally giving your child a weapon. Think about that. That's a 2-ton vehicle.
That's right.
And with little or any experience at all, you're allowing them to drive this vehicle. That is a deadly machine. My cousin was killed in Kentucky at 16 years old, along with two of his high school friends. This is quite a few years back, but I never forgot about that. And that was one of the reasons that I created this. And then after two horrific accidents in Irvine, California, where 5 kids had perished in an automobile accident when they wrapped a tree around the car going about 80 miles an hour off of MacArthur. That's when I said, we got to do something. So I sat down one night, came up with the idea. I actually have a decal and a bumper sticker that goes on the rear bumper and then the back of the window on the inside that also identifies the teenage drivers. And again, it's an awareness program. It's an educational program. I'm taking it into schools across the country. I launched it in Atlanta, Georgia, originally. People say, why did you launch it in Atlanta? Well, I actually was back there on working a professional fight, supervising a title fight. And I've made some very good friends back there, so I decided to launch it there because I had a lot of political power pull back there. And so they got behind the program. I went back last September with my wife, and I received a resolution from the state capitol, at the state capitol building, from Senator James. She gave us a resolution. So September 15th is No Teen Riders Day in Georgia.
Oh, we need an applause for that, Albert. Yay! Wow, that's great! I just love my tacky little applause meter. I applause everything. But that is so significant and important.
Well, that's a milestone
in your life.
That's a start. It really was a start for us to launch this. Like I said, I've met senators. I even flew back and met Hillary Clinton privately to discuss this ever so briefly, but it was an interesting
And what did
meeting.
She say? Well, we're interested. Bated breath.
We switched cards. We exchanged business cards.
Uh-huh.
I actually never heard back from her, but that's okay.
Oh, surprise, surprise, really? Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe you can try Trump.
You never know.
He might be on board. Go after the Trumpster next. Oh, so what else are your plans for? Because the program, now, this, what does it actually do? So you developed it. We have the license.
Right.
And do the parents have to bring the child in? Is there paperwork? Is it a 6-week program?
Yeah, the way we're launching this is actually through the high schools. Like I said, we have we're getting the PTAs involved. I'm actually getting booster clubs involved. And what we do is we sell the frames to the PTAs. And in some cases, I don't sell the frames. I will donate them. It depends on the area that we're in. Some, you know, there's low-income areas where they can't afford the money.
Mm.
So we will donate the frames. But if the schools do buy the frames from us, what happens, we will donate 30% of the sale of that frame or the frames back to the high school
Oh, nice.
And set up a scholarship fund, one or two scholarships within the high school.
That's great. And do you sell them individually? Like, what if a parent wanted to buy one?
Yes, we do.
Are they available on the noteenriders.org?
Yeah, you can actually go to our website and you can purchase them there online.
And how much are these?
They sell for $24.95, and we might be changing that program. What we're thinking of doing is just asking for donations so they can go on and just donate whatever they feel like donating
nice.
To us.
Wow, I tell you, this is certainly worth it. Now, question, what kind of resistance have you had from the teens? Because I can't imagine that they are going to voluntarily want to put this on their car because they're hip and they're happening and
right.
they're not having this.
No, my son, is when he was a teenager, well, he's still a teenager, but he was 17, there was some resistance from him. But for the most part, you know what, if you get the right kids involved, there isn't resistance because they understand the program, they get it. And again, it's all about education. I actually go into the high schools. I have about a 15-minute slide presentation that I do to educate the teenagers as well as the parents, in some instances the teachers.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how many parents will come back and they'll ask questions that they didn't even realize that some of the laws that we have are in place. And again, when you mention 21 years old, one of the things that's happening here in California now, they're trying to change the law so that it's going to be mandatory that you're not going to be able to drive until you're 21.
Yay! Oh, my gosh! Really? When is that happening?
I'd like to say that I had something to do with that. I've been pushing this now
Whoa.
For a year and a half, but I just heard on the radio the other day one of the politicians here in the state is pushing for a bill to raise the driving age to 21, and I'm for it.
Absolutely.
I think when you hear of 14-year-olds driving somewhere in the country or 15-year-olds and they've been killed, it's tragic. You know, and you have to put yourself in the parent's position. How would you feel if you got that phone call or that knock on the door
right.
and your kids,
yeah.
you know, your son or your daughter had just died in an automobile accident along with their friends?
Well, I tell you, the reason I feel so passionate is because back in the day, Priscilla Leona was like the party animal. She had the Marilyn Monroe body. She was rocking the Casbah, right? So it was party after party after party. And I hung out with kids that had very nice cars and, you know, like the BMWs and the Mercedes that their parents just gave them. My mother didn't give me any damn Mercedes. I had to work for my car. But I had a friend and we were at a party and he got very drunk. And I said, well, you're not going to drive that car home. I mean, you could be in an accident. And he's like, no, I'm going to drive. I'm like, no, give me the keys. And there was a big kerfuffle and everybody tried to get him to stop, but he just, I guess, weaned his way out to the car with his friend. He was 16. He had just gotten the car and he unfortunately wrapped the car around a telephone pole and died instantly. And his brother, who was in the car, said that he just couldn't stop. He froze and just kept driving right in. So my point is that the reactions, you can't as a child know what you're supposed to do. Another friend, I'm from the East Coast. They have what's called black ice.
Right.
And my gosh,
Once you hit that, you're done.
You got to know what to do. A child's reaction is going to be to pull in the opposite direction.
Right.
Had another friend that was killed, a teen, because they didn't know. So I'm 21, because by that time you should be a little bit more intelligent. Mm-hmm. You should have heard all the death stories of your friends, something, right?
Right,
Alan?
Right. No, I think 21 is going to be a good age. That might be the right age. And one of the goals of my nonprofit is actually to get the laws changed across the entire country, because every state I go into, the laws they're not uniform and they're a little different. There's a little tweak here or there to the law. So if we can get senators on board and politicians on board to help us back this program and get the laws changed across the country, it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's to cut down on the deaths of teenage drivers, to cut down. There's another thing that goes beyond this. There is a financial aspect to this also. People don't think about that. Well, if your son or daughter, God forbid, gets
That's
in the accident,
right.
they have their friends in the car, now you're looking at major lawsuits.
Oh, yes.
You know, the insurance industry, again, you're looking at it, I think it's $24 billion a year in cost to the insurance industry.
Right.
So with the help of my program, it's the goal to bring the cost down, to bring those lawsuits down, and to save lives.
And, you know, people don't think about this, but when you're traveling, I'm just talking about me because I don't have any kids, but when you're traveling through areas that are very rich areas, and if your son or daughter hits a Mercedes or a BMW or a Rolls Royce or an Aston Martin, I think about this going through Beverly Hills because we go there frequently.
Those are expensive cars. You,
even with the maximum coverage,
it will not cover the
damage that you're going to pay out of pocket for hitting one of those Rolls Royces and Aston Martin. And you don't know where your kid's traveling. They could be, not that they're hanging out and partying with, you know, in a rich neighborhood, but they might be traveling through it. And you know what I mean? So that is going to cost you a lot.
Right.
And you'll owe for the rest of your life. You'll be selling parts to the black market, anything you can. Oh my gosh. Now let's talk about this exciting book. Is this your first book? It's called Unprotected, and apparently it's going to be released October 16th. And the book is about educating young upcoming athletes who want to turn pro and the importance of knowing the business, agents, managers, money. Oh my gosh. I tell you, I cannot be with you more on this because this is the obviously this is such an important book for athletes, but I personally think that it would be a book for a broad audience because including the novice and beginners in the entertainment industry who really need help to keep the purse strings tight.
Right.
And I say this because when you start out in the business, show business, it is so damn expensive. It is so expensive. And that, your premise is really the heart and the soul and the goal of what this show is about. So what do you feel are at least three of the absolute most important nuggets of business career advice from your book?
Well, thanks for asking. You know, one of them, obviously, you know, it's amazing. People, friends will walk up to me and say, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? So, you know, you'd be surprised how many people don't even know how to open a bank account.
Oh,
adults
and
kids, right?
I'm shocked.
So I thought it was important, you know, the more I thought about it, and then being in the fight game all my life and having friends, you know, that made a lot of money and went broke. And then, you hear on television at least once a month where the next professional athlete's going broke, be it a baseball player, a football player, or a boxer.
And I have celebrity friends that used to be stars of their shows. They're broke.
Exactly. Even in the entertainment industry, same thing.
Yes.
They mismanage your money.
Yeah.
You know, in the fight game, and you hear of managers that just take advantage of these poor young athletes. You know, a lot of times you got to remember where the fighters are coming from.
They're so excited to get a manager, right?
Just like
the actors are excited to get the agent.
Right. And, you know, they don't know anything about business.
Right.
So I thought it was important, again, to write this book to educate them. So one of the things is banking. I think that's important.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to read a contract.
Yes.
Very important because you'd be, again, surprised how many people call me and say, I get calls from all over the country. Not, you know, probably once a month, every other month, someone will call and say, hey, we got a fighter in a contract. What do we do?
Mm.
I'll say, send me a copy of the contract. I said, you know, first question, did you guys read it? Or did the fighter read it? And they go, no.
Mm.
So what happens, they throw money in front of them.
Who the hell wants to read it, right?
Well, when they're throwing money in front of you,
that's right.
You're not
going to
read anything.
That's right.
You're going to say, wow, these people are going to take care of me.
But see, there's no excuse, Alan, though, with Google and, you know, you got the library. And I know lawyers, but first thing people think of, I can't afford a lawyer. But you know what? They have what's called prepaid legal services now. And these services are available. They're like $35. I'm just quoting a price. I just know one in particular called prepaid legal. It's like $35 or something, and you have access to every different type of attorney, real estate, divorce attorney, business contract. So you can have one of those services and have them look over the contract.
That's actually good advice. It's pretty cheap to go to one of those sites and pay $35 a month, and it's what money
it'll
well
save
spent.
You.
It'll save a lot of people a lot of headaches. You know, again, the book was written from my perspective as a former professional fighter. And also, when I wrote the book, I wanted it to cross all genres. It wasn't just written for athletes. I wanted it to be written for anybody. So anybody can go in, and there's advice on there. There's actually chapters. Instead of chapters 1 through 12, I actually named the chapters round 1 through round 12.
I like that.
A little twist on it.
A little twist.
But, again, they can go in.
So the first one's banking.
Right, banking. And then I get contracts.
Yeah, contracts,
that was
too.
Very important.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other one is, you know, you might, again, I talked to different topics, but I would say get to know your manager, the agent you're working with. So learn about the agent.
Yes,
because
research.
Because a lot of people don't know, they don't know what the role of the agent is.
That's right. The what?
What the role of the agent, what his role
is. Oh, the
is,
role.
Her,
yes,
his or her role is,
that's
right. So
that,
again, that can be in sports or acting.
That's right. That's right. Right. You want to know, okay, well, what do you expect from me? I'm going to talk showbiz. What do you expect from me as an actor? Well, I expect you to do this. I expect you to do that and this. And sometimes they won't tell you. And next thing you know, they'll drop you. And you don't even know why you were dropped. And it's because you weren't doing what they wanted, but you didn't know what they wanted and they didn't bother telling you. So it's a, you know, it's a whole situation. So one of the things you want to always ask when you get a manager, an agent, whether it's boxing or sports or anything, what are your expectations of me when you take me on as a client? And what are my expectations of you?
Right.
You both have to know. That way you can, it lessens the fights. It lessens the problems.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And what else do you teach in your book? Now, those are three good things.
Well,
those
I think were most important. I actually talked about the history of boxing. Mm-hmm. You know, how boxing arrived in the United States. It goes back to actually bare knuckle boxing. But it comes over from the UK.
Yeah, and in Ireland.
Right.
I'm Irish,
right.
So my ancestors had bloody knuckles
daily. I'm right there with you. I'm Irish, German, French, and Mexican.
Well, there you go. We were of a fighting lot.
There you go.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So
again,
the history of boxing.
So the history of boxing. And I talk about how to be articulate, how to prepare yourself for an interview.
Right.
How to dress. Because that's
yes.
very important. You know, when you go out to do an interview, you know, you have to look the part. I tell people, and young athletes especially, look, you're an entity. You have to market yourself. You have to be able to market yourself. You
mm-hmm.
need to know
dress
how to do
dress for
that.
Success.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, because most of them just, you know, I mean, I don't want to say everybody, but most of them are like in sweats and a t-shirt, and that's because they're in
right.
the gym. So
right.
they think they can just show up anywhere in sweats and a t-shirt. So, yes, dressing is very important because you put on a nice little suit, then people are going to take you seriously and think that you're a businessman, right?
Exactly.
Fake it till you make it.
There you go.
Now, does the book have a website?
Actually, the book, we're creating alansantana.com, and
okay.
that site should be up within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So they can go there to buy the book.
Okay, but where can we buy it on Amazon?
You'll be able to buy it on Amazon, on Apple Books. You'll be able to buy it at Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
So it will be available at those places.
Okay. And let's talk about you being ambassador for Ready Go, which is a reading program. And what do you do there?
That, and I'm going to correct you real quick. That's Read 60. That's okay.
What? Wait a minute. See
yes.
that? That
That's
was
okay.
copied right from your press
That's
kit.
Fine.
So you better go back and change it.
I'm going to have to talk to my publicist.
Your purse. Uh-oh.
But, yeah, it's the Read 60 program. I'm very excited about that. I was actually approached from the people that created this reading program. They've actually the NBA is involved with this, which is really neat. Last year in Canada, I think the NBA had their All-Star game in Canada last year, and they actually did a whole thing on the Read 60 program. So, anyways, I was approached after a movie premiere that I was at by Brenda, who has created this program, and she said, and I met with Peter Bollinger, who's the director of the film that I was recently in. And they came to me, and we had breakfast one Saturday. I said, you know what, you'd be the perfect guy to represent this book as an ambassador and spokesperson. And these books, there's an array of books. There's different topics. So I picked four topics. One of them was course education. The other one was bullying, which is near and dear to me. The other book is drugs, talks about drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are important things. And one of the other books is actually going to be dealing with police officers when you get pulled over. What do you do as a kid or a teenager?
Mm.
So I thought those were important. Mm. Like I said, there's an array of topics on these books. And these are actually geared towards elementary school kids and junior high school kids.
Oh, and where can we get those?
You will be able to get these at the Reach. If you go to Reach60.com, you can purchase those books there.
Reach60.com, yes. Okay.
And just Friday, I was out at three schools in the Ontario. Went to two elementary schools and one of the middle schools out there, and it was fantastic.
Oh.
So I got to introduce the program into the schools there, along with Javier Galvez, who's actually working with me. Javier has a dance group, which is an amazing group, and it's all about culture and learning and dance and history. So he is called Del Sante Del Sol is mm-hmm. the name of the group he created. He's a director. So we've teamed up, and we're working together. He's helping me get my books into the schools, which I really appreciate.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, let's talk about ABO Foundation.
Yes, the ABO is the Adaptive Boxing Organization. Again, I'm excited about that, really excited about that, because we're looking at taking, for the first time, boxers and wheelchairs into the Paralympics in 2024.
Wow.
So as the ambassador and spokesperson for that, it's really neat, because what we're doing is we've designed a special wheelchair. We're designing special headgear, and the gloves are they're regular regulation boxing gloves. And what we're doing is giving injured guys that lost, and women that have lost legs or arms, maybe in the war, were in the war or in the military, or maybe it was an accident. What we're doing is giving them a second chance to get into a wheelchair, actually be active. And it's good for their self-esteem. It actually helps them mentally.
Right.
So that's a fantastic program that I'm involved with.
And is the website, what is the website for that?
That they can go to the Adaptive Boxing Organization.
Adaptive Boxing Organ. Right. There you go. All right. Well, okay. That is out. We are out of time. Can you believe it went so fast, Alan? We're going to have you come back next year for the rest of my sheet. I got two more sheets of questions. I ran out of time.
I'd love to come back. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we appreciate you. Go to Alan's website, noteenriders.org, and get your license plate. I love this. And let's all make sure that these children are not children when they drive, that they're 21 to save their life, okay? All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.